to all of you here in town and in every corner of the interwebs. Thank you for tuning in on this beautiful Tuesday, April 2nd. I am Brandon Golder. You have found We Like the Blazers. Over there is the Hoodrilla Vanilla Gorilla, Keith Feltner Smith. Keith, what is up, buddy?
Goddamn, that is beautiful to be on the other end of that. That was just, God, that was glorious. Thank you, sir. That just warmed my heart.
How do you feel the reception? Do you see what I had to suffer with for those 100 episodes? By the way, really quick. First of all, how are you? Quick note, Ryan is sick. So we got Keith in here. But yeah, man, what's up, dude? How you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm doing well. Thank you. It's funny because we were talking the other day at the Remix game. We're like, hey, give me on. I want to come on and join you on We Like the Blazers. We Love the Blazers, or We Like the Blazers. I'm so sorry.
It's We Like, but we, it's also We Like. Love. We oh, yeah, like okay. And love. It's a weird love relationship.
Was it? Yeah, was it love? Okay. No, I'm not it crazy. It, that. It,
no, I mean, you are crazy.
That's a given.
It started as I like the Blazers because I was doing it by myself.
Gotcha.
And now Ryan joined and it became We Like the Blazers. We're not ready to commit Keith to the love yet. Like, listen, seasons like this.
Did you have the Twitter handle that was Love the Blazers or something? I swear you had a love in there. It's just the one little heart logo you have. I love the logo you have.
Yes, it is the heart, which is kind of like, I mean, that's a lot of like if you're at like the heart level.
Okay. But so already tension. We were talking at the Remix game. You wanted to get me on and join you, and I was like, "Yes, let's do it." You said we record Mondays, I think is what you said, and then I realized last night that it was
today
Monday.
Today
is
not Monday.
I was going to bed last night. I'm like, "Oh man, I should reach out to Brandon tomorrow and apologize that I never like touched base about a time. I totally forgot about Monday. Maybe we can do the next one." And along comes a Tuesday,
where I slide into your texts.
It worked out.
Wait a minute. You're leaving out part of this story, Keith.
Okay.
Please briefly regale the listeners for how this actually started. Where did you, me, and Ryan have a conversation? And what was the nature of the conversation? And how much alcohol was consumed to lubricate that conversation? Because that's what the listeners really want to know.
Over with you, me, and Ryan, that would probably be the hot ones.
Is it the hot ones party? It's Seth.
That alcohol was lubrication for all the hot sauce and delicious spiciness that was going on.
Episode, by the way. I wish you would have been there, but it was amazing.
Those have been such great times. It's been a really nice tradition. I think the subscription is up, so we got to find someone else that wants a new birthday subscription to Hot Ones. Just gonna say my birthday's in August. We could get this going. People can drive out to Hood River. We could do it again.
Hint.
Or maybe Troutdale. Maybe we can just, it'll be my birthday subscription this time, but we'll still make Seth host the thing. It'll work perfectly. I'm sure he'll be
down.
How
long does it take for you to get from Hood River to Troutdale, by the way?
45-50 minutes. It's not bad.
That's not bad. It actually took like from Inner Southeast, that was like 30 plus minutes. So I felt like we split the difference pretty good there. That was so much fun. My butt was on fire the next day. Actually, that night.
You were talking about that. Like, I saw your tweets. I saw your tweets talking about getting up in the middle of the night.
That was like, no will fun. It, won't it? I mean, it was fun to be fair. And so that was dope. Listen, this season is getting pretty long in the tooth, man. We have the Blazers coming in. They've won less than 20 games. They're on a huge skid. They're at the bottom of every power ranking. I just want to ask you, like, as we're kind of sliding into the beginning of April, as we're sliding into what some GMs have called historically possibly the worst draft ever, the worst time to have a good pick ever. How freaking, it's so annoying. But I'm just curious, where is your head at as you're thinking about the team and you as a fan, as you relate to the team? Like, where's your head at?
Okay, so before we even get to the team list, I just want to mention with the draft stuff specifically, I get it. This is not going to be the best draft in the world. What that usually really means is there not a depth of top tier talent on the front end. That doesn't mean there's going to be no talent. If anything, that's a year that if you're going to tank, you really need to make sure you're tanking efficiently, getting to the very top of it, because that's where the talent will more likely be. Other than that,
we need tank efficiency stats from cleaning the glass.
Yes, we do. We also always know that there's always good players taken outside the top end of things. Even in a bad draft, you could have dudes in the 20s, 30s, 40s. That could be someone. The Manu Ginobili is always the reference I want to make, right? Like, I don't remember where he was drafted, but it certainly wasn't a lottery pick. And we've got a guy in the front office with Cronin, Mike Schmitz, who is the draft guru. He has been. He has been for years before he came to the Blazers, and now he's focusing specifically on our needs. So if ever there's a time that we can squeeze the most juice out of a somewhat dry lemon that is the 2024 draft, it would be by tanking extremely efficiently and having a dude dry who can lemon. Really sift through all that and find the gold or the diamonds or whatever you want to say.
2024, the dry lemon draft.
The dry lemon
draft. I love it. I
the
love
dehydrated,
it.
The partially dehydrated lemon draft.
We'll it's like see. That little wedge of lemon you get with yes. your drink, and you can like, am I going to eat this or not? Actually, those are really good.
It's like we've already gone through, you could say, up to 3 years of tanking or whatever you want to say. We've already had some draft picks. I want to say Scoot and Shaden are the main ones, so that makes me think it's been 2 years in. So this is like your third drink and you're trying to squeeze that lemon wedge from the first drink into the second, into the third. This one maybe doesn't get as much lemon, but it still could have some good taste in there.
Gives you the right flavor. I mean, you can always rehydrate it with water too. And then yes. it kind of still tastes like citrus. Look, your point's well taken. Yes. Like it's really hard to look at a draft and be like, there's nothing there because that's usually right. not what happens. Now, is it very likely that the Blazers, even if they get the first pick, that they'll be picking a generational talent? Not likely, but look, the Blazers have the Warriors pick, they have their own pick, and every draft has starters. Every draft, I don't want to quite say every draft has all-stars because some of them don't, but it's pretty rare that a draft won't have some all-stars in it. So right. look, like I'm pretty much with you. Like it may be a weak draft, but it doesn't mean it's not worth tanking. Into your
put point yourself if it's a weak draft, put yourself in the best position. Is all I'm saying. I'm yeah. generally not a really big draft guy. This is a weird year because we have four picks overall. And what I heard Mike Richmond say on Locked On is that even if we sign just one rookie contract, it puts us over the salary cap as far as luxury tax. So they're going to have to get rid of guys. They're going to bring some in, but probably not all four. Yeah, exactly. They're going to have to make some moves outside just the draft picks. It's going to be a wild, crazy summer. You had asked about the team thoughts, and I had to tangent off on the draft stuff, but team wise, I think my biggest thing, It has been people. I think people are being way too impatient with Scoot, man. I get that it's easy to hate on a dude, and we have a weird fascination as a culture where we want to celebrate the top one, two, or three guys and the bottom 10 guys in things, or top bottom five guys, whatever you want to say. The dudes in the middle just get kind of passed over. It's odd, especially in basketball where it's all about kind of development. You think those guys in the middle pack that are kind of trying to sift towards the top would be important, but the Blazers have had a really bad season. It's just funny to me how much spotlight we're kind of putting on Scoot when, what was the comparison? Russell Westbrook, I think, was the initial thing that people were saying, oh, could he be Russ? The numbers aren't that much behind what Russ's rookie year was. Russ had more starts than Scoot has played total games. So the sample size is entirely different. And I don't know, it's just early to me. But let me take a breath and let you actually get in here. Sorry.
No, you're fine. That's why I had you on us to talk. So keep talking. No. Hey, look, I'm not gonna lie and say that I'm as confident that Scoot Henderson will be the player I was hoping he'd be when the Blazers drafted him at three. Because I'm not. I am less confident. But yeah, he's 20. He's 20. Yeah, he's a point guard. Barely. You have to wait. Like, there are very few players that young that develop right away. There are some, but especially at the point guard position, you might have to be waiting years. And by the way, the Blazers are not done tanking at the end of this year. They're nowhere near the point. And I hope that people can lock in and get comfortable, grab a blanket, grab some popcorn, because we're gonna be tanking, baby, for a while. And look, I'll be honest too, like, I didn't actually follow the team all that closely to start the year. Even though I was doing game previews for Blazers Edge and I was running a podcast, I was honestly not following them that closely. I've had more fun in the last like 2 months just watching the game, just to see if the flashes, like, that's how I'm watching as a fan right now, is for the flashes. So Scoot's young. Go ahead.
All season, I'm with you on the flashes. All year, it's been about trying to watch for the flashes. At least watch for kind of the visual eye test stuff with Scoot, with, unfortunately, not enough of Shaden, but with the whole team, with a lot of our young forwards in general. Yeah. Go ahead.
You did mention something right there. It's like, that's the biggest bummer of the year. So we haven't seen Shaden Sharp and enough Scoot together more.
Right.
Or even just 20 enough of games? Shaden period, right?
Yeah. I think Shaden's been like 22, 23 total, and
Also, I really thought, when they assigned him to the G League, I was like, oh, he's coming back like immediately. And now he's back on the injury report is like not even doubtful or probable, but he's just out. Like, he's not playing tomorrow against the Hornets, which, by the way, like, that was a great pivot. Good job, Brandon. I want to pivot into talking about what might be the most tanktastic game of any game that's ever been gamed. I really wish I hadn't closed that tab because this is now actively harming my transition as I wait. You have the 19-56 Portland Trailblazers facing off against the 18-57 Charlotte Hornets. Keith, may I read to you the injury report? And I'll go as quickly as I can and still be able to enunciate. Trailblazers, Grant, Mania, doubtful, Brogdon, Kamara, Sharp, Simons, Tybal, Williams, out. Hornets, Miles Bridges, Brandon Miller, Grant Williams, all questionable. Vasha Micic, doubtful, and then LaMelo Ball, Seth Curry, Cody Martin, Mark Williams, all out. These are two teams, Keith, that would love nothing more than to walk away from this game holding an L the size of, I don't even know what. I failed the analogy. Like
an L the size of Louisiana. I don't know.
There we go. L. I want to do like a Portland reference, like L the size of the Tillicum Bridge. It's like, that's weird. That is maybe like a Charlotte reference because they're in Charlotte. But I want to lob some questions at you really quick, because as we know, we like the Blazers. It's now part of the Blazers Edge podcast family, which is very good. Shout out to Rogue Media. And I also am doing previews for Blazers Edge. And part of that is to ask all of you dear listeners and dear readers for your questions to help me overcome my writer's block. Because to be honest, like once you do like 20, 30, 40 of these, you start, it's like, I'm just writing the same shit over and over again. Like, couldn't they export my job to AI? Look, I enjoy the process. Don't export my job to AI. Keith, I have some questions about this game. This question comes from Knack. The question is, which team wants the win less?
I mean, like you said, they are both competing pretty hard to the bottom right now. I would say with what we've heard recently, not just from Blazers coverage as Blazers fans, but how the media is covering the Blazers and the multiple 60-point losses this season and some of the crazy, the number of times we've had a historic five rookie starters, not just once for the first time in 12 years, but twice and then three times in a row. And I think that was it. Did it stop at three? I'm trying not to always to look at stats. You mentioned earlier trying to watch just flashes of the game. I wanted to say, I posted a picture on our Discord at one point of literally watching the games with a piece of cardboard over the lower left corner because I'm just not watching the scoreboard that hard. Like, I'm just fully clever. Just watching the play. It doesn't get in the way of anything else. It's kind of covered, you know, yeah, not the point. As far as which team wants to win less, I do feel like the way the media is covering it and what we've seen from the Blazers, they are, again, if we can spin this, they are historically good at tanking. They're historically efficient at tanking.
They're so good at it.
And so I gotta believe, man, they've got it up their sleeve. I don't even want to say Cronin or Schmitz because I'm not trying to put this on them.
Adam Silver yes. clearly wants the Blazers to tank, because if you saw the last 2-minute report from last game, God. Scoot Henderson should have gotten the foul. It was a missed no call. What do they call it? An incorrect
no call. No call.
But they can't come out and say, hey, y'all, we're sorry we made a mistake. Yeah, well, it was an incorrect no call. Anyways, so clearly the NBA wants the Blazers to tank. Keith, I have another question for you. Totally serious question. Put on your serious face. This one coming from Tom Fowlery, who asks, in the Shameless Bowl, which team will behave the most shameful? Is it time for the Bodgy Point center experience? What say you?
Okay, what I say is, as far as shame, again, I'm one of these hardcore optimistic Blazers fans. Yeah, again, I'm just gonna keep shouting this out. You've got the Rogue Media stuff. I'm not trying to step on any toes there. But any friends and fans that want to come join us in the Discord, we goof around a lot. We have a good time. Ryan Whitty was there twice, and he left twice.
he has a real problem with technology. Check out the Trailcasters Discord. It is honestly like, if you want an environment where you want to talk about basketball in a way that is not toxic and is collaborative and is fun, check out the Trailcasters Discord. Either hit up Keith on Twitter or me on Twitter at GoldenRPDX, and we'll figure out how to get you in there. But Keith, continue your point.
Yeah, normally it's on an episode link description kind of thing, and we have not had an episode for a while to put a link in. Anyway, the point is, a lot of goofy, fun conversations happen in there. And I'm trying to get back to actually the train of thought where we were talking about. What was the discussion?
Listen, do we need to see Ibubaji at point guard?
Ibubaji, that's the question. Yeah, that's right. The question.
Remix legend, by the way, shout out.
And my point just being, as an optimistic, as a super hardcore optimistic Blazers fan who has a hard time saying anything negative about the team, I am loving that we finally have Scoot starting all games, not just off ball, but with the ball in his hands as a actual point guard for the true point guard to practice true point guard skills, not trying to be off ball shooters in the corner. So point Ibubaji, I'm here for it. I want some big ball handlers, but not at the cost of Scoot having the ball
Keith
in his hands
first.
He wants
some big ball handlers.
Oh, man, I walked right into that.
You did.
How did I miss that? It's been too long, Brandon. Not only have
that's
I not podcasted with you in a while, it's like all this pod energy is just pent up from not having done any Trailcasters episodes in months, and I'm just sitting here just trying to lob
Cassie
these to
and I
you.
Have been taking singing lessons, and my already very powerful voice is only becoming more powerful, so look out. I think maybe the last question, as if we were doing video, that would have been great. Keith is taking a sip and he's taking a sip from his Podland Trailcaster's mug. He's like kind of framing it and pointing to it as he sips very, very gentlemanlike. Okay. Two more questions. One goofy one. One is too serious even for this moment. One from Blazer God: is Cronin creative enough to keep us from beating the Hornets? Will Ayton's knee tendonitis flare up? Maybe food poisoning? Well, actually, let's put it this way, Keith. If there was a reason why a Blazers player who was supposed to play suddenly doesn't play, what's the excuse for it?
Listen, you're talking about Ayton's knee tendonitis and this kind of thing. I'm just going to say, as I've been calling him Iceman after the thing this winter, out here in Hood River, we've had snow and ice in March before. It's only April 2nd. It would not be impossible to say, you know, hey, maybe Ayton runs into some more inclement weather that he's not
prepared like kite
for.
Surfing and he stays the night and he gets stuck.
Yes, there we go. Yeah.
I don't think the winds have really picked up yet, right? Like it has to get a little warmer for that to happen. Are the kite surfers out?
No, there is not quite okay, there, but right. We're getting towards that season where you can basically time the day by when the wind direction changes.
When the kites get up.
Let me say though, I do think Cronin, as far as the creativity, this dude can do some things. I really believe that he's been waiting. I know
we like fake injury things,
not just tanking things, but as far as. Okay. We've all been frustrated with the last couple deadlines and last summer. On our podcast as well, we talked many times about, hey, we're going to see this. We're going to see probably this guy get moved. Brogdon is probably getting moved to the deadline. This summer, all the delays that have happened, like it leads to this. It leads to now. There's definitely going to be moves this summer. Like we talked about earlier with the draft pick thing. If we tried to sign one draft pick, we're going to be over the luxury tax. They're not going into the luxury tax. As Mike pointed out,
that's
on
a good point.
With no forward purpose. So they're going to make moves on the roster somewhere, if just to bring in more fresh meat.
So I'm using my galaxy brain. That's what this is. And unfortunately, if you know that, and now I know that, every other team in the NBA knows that, and they know the Blazers have to sell like the Brogdons and the Robert Williams and the Anthony Simonses of the world for pennies on the dollar. And like,
pennies
I mean,
on
yeah,
the,
like,
I see what you did there. Nice one. Pennies on the dollar.
I didn't even, I good actually, reference. I
it
swear to God, I did not do that. On
you lobbed that one up to me. It was beautiful.
That was
if I had the
good.
Sound effect board, if I had the SFX board, I'd be over here right now.
Not bad. No, they have to move players. It will happen. I agree. Keith, this is the last question. And this
we're done
one
already.
We had
so beautiful.
Like, listen, Ryan's sick.
It's so good to see
I'm
you again.
Doing stuff. Yeah, it's good to see you too. You came in on like emergency, no notice. So I want to respect your time, but I do have one more question. This is coming from my travel trailer. As of today, would you prefer Brandon Miller, if he were still available at the draft, or Scoot Henderson?
Oh my God, I love my travel trailer. I have a particular affinity for, I don't know you personally, but what a wonderful moniker. Travel trailer is, I love traveling and I love trailers to haul your stuff around. It is all beautiful. I respect you and the ideas you stand behind, but no, sir. Scoot Henderson, man. He is a true point guard. We talk about this on the Discord. you don't have a large sample of teams who win it all, as we should want to do as fans. We want the Blazers to win it all, not just be fun fun to go to games, good to watch, whatever. That we want them to try and win it all, set up a team that can win it all. You don't have a large sample of teams that do that with the point guard as their best scorer, as their number one option. You have Steph Curry and you have the Pistons, which even in the Pistons, even around Isaiah back then and Steph Curry now, you have very specific constructions of teams to set that player up. It is a there's a far larger sample size where when you have a true point guard who before scoring, he's about playmaking and maybe then scoring or maybe then defense like we could have with Scoot. That's a much better model to start with, especially when you can get a guy next to him like Shaedon Sharpe, especially then maybe we draft, let's say, you know, the Cooper Flagg stuff, the SAR stuff we're talking about in this draft. There are other players out there. Scoring is again, we talked about this today on Discord even. Scoring is probably the most common commodity in the NBA. The thing that every team is after, the thing that all players train themselves for, the things everyone is focused in right now is scoring. That will come. Get the rest of it. Get the playmakers like Scoot. Get the defenders. Get the rebounders. Get all that locked in. And then we'll go for it. So no, I would not take Brandon Miller over Scoot. I think the true point guard is the way to go. It's more of a unique piece that will really set you up for success when you get everything built around it. And I want that long-term success, not just a dude who's fun to watch his rookie year.
I have to say my opinion on this has changed over time. I was very certain that Scoot Henderson was the better long-term prospect. I'm not as certain now. I don't know if I would trade one for the other if I'm Portland, if you could, which you can't. But I will say to your point, like Brandon Miller, he's the kind of player who will be successful to some extent in the NBA because he's tall and he can shoot. He shoots 38% from deep on decent volume, 6.5 attempts a game. And he's playing for a god awful team, right? Like he's getting reps that a player of his size, of course, he's going to get a shot off. Scoot Henderson has had a rough year. I think that and to be fair too, like I haven't seen Brandon Miller play. So my understanding of him as a player is really coming from the box score, probably a dangerous game to be playing. What I've seen from Scoot Henderson in bursts has been really, really special.
Yeah.
And
really special. Look,
for as much as he was really bad at the beginning of the year, I'm not saying that 30% from deep is great, but the fact that he's gotten his average up to 30%, considering where he started, is extremely encouraging. You also just, if you watch him play, his ability to get to spots at times is elite. He can't always control himself when he gets there, but that's really special. His passing vision is really underrated. And that's something you can't really inflate those stats on a bad team because when you're making passes, no offense, Blazers, right, you're passing to not the best. You
have
best.
To have shooters that you're passing to. We don't have shooters. Complete
the, right. So I look, to be honest with you, I would say I just don't know. Like, and which sucks because at the beginning of the year, I was like, no way, Scoot Henderson all the way. And now I'm like, Brandon Miller has shown where his floor is. Brandon Miller will be like at least a sub all-star level player for a long time. And that's valuable.
I mean, I would argue that Scoot is already at least going to be a sub all-star player again, just because the year we've seen from him has been deflated in so many ways. I think just from, again, sample size, the rotations around him, even to compare him two guys like a Westbrook or a Conley or De'Aaron Fox, he doesn't compare that badly to those numbers. We're talking like decimals and things. It's different in most of the stats. And his sample has been a much steeper hill to climb than I think any of those dudes had their rookie year. I think a lot of the hate on Scoot, it's because, again, the media loves these guys that win and they love the guys that lose. So
yeah,
the Blazers have been losing and they're highlighted hard.
Scoot
Henderson
has been extremely easy to make fun of this year.
Sure.
In a way that Brandon Miller hasn't. Brandon Miller is almost like the most inoffensive rookie you could possibly have. Strictly basketball.
I've got no problem with Miller for sure.
He's can put up decent efficiency for a rookie. On volume, he's tall, he can shoot. What more do you need to know? Scoot Henderson is like, what the hell is that? Like right? Like it's so. Look, he's been easy to make fun of.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. There's a delay or something going on here. I'm just going to blame the delay just so I can talk over you. His passing metrics are great. What we're seeing as far as the defensive instincts, his ability to get in here, again, the instincts for him to get into the paint, the finishing isn't there, but how many rookies are finishing great? We don't need that right now anyway. We want the development time. I am fully still on board for Scoot. I think it's the right move. And as far as Brandon Miller, nothing is wrong with that dude. But what was the quote that that Terry Stotts had, and I think probably Dr. Jack had back? It was an Aristotle quote about like the sum of the parts is greater than the pieces. I don't have this pulled up in front of me.
But, no, I know what you're talking about.
The point being, just gets back to that thing where Scoot being the true point guard, the playmaker before the scorer, is what we're going to need to have that right fit. That's going to give us the best chance long term to really get there. I can tell you need to go. Hey, I can keep talking though. If you need to go walk to the door, I'll just ramble on here.
That's okay. That's okay. Now we're wrapping. And it, like, yeah, I agree. Like I think, tell me, I don't want to mischaracterize what you say because I do need to write the description for this podcast, but like, are you saying that the type of player Scoot Henderson is, you're more confident that he can be a part of a winning team?
Exactly.
What I will say though, is that what I don't hear you saying is he's going to be a generational point guard. Just to say, like, that was, is my hope. And that is it. That has changed. Okay. Like,
That's fair.
Less confident that that's going to happen. But I do. I also, you said something earlier. I just want to, and I'll give it back to you. But like, his defense, like, again, don't just box score watch. Watch him play defense. He wants to. He is engaged. He obviously has a lot to learn, but he's very athletic. He's willing to apply his athleticism on defense in a way that some point guards are not willing to.
Right.
That's what's resulting in the fouls.
Yeah. That's the part of the criticism. Part of the easy thing to criticize, like you said earlier, is those fouls, how often he's fouling out of the games. And that's it. I'd rather have him trying too hard on defense than not trying enough. And I think he may not be that generational point guard talent like we may have been told about, or like the marketing said, but what if he's part of a generational Blazers squad? What if he's part of a squad that makes multiple runs deep in the playoffs year after year? And he and Shaden and some other young piece or two, plus some veteran and leading them, maybe a certain other point guard comes back in his twilight years, to come off the bench here and lead the Blazers to glory in a way that could be beautiful. And we don't need Scoot to be the lead scorer in that situation.
Okay, I will drink your Kool-Aid. It tastes delicious, and it definitely is a wet lemon Kool-Aid.
It has a nice mug.
It definitely does, Keith. Unfortunately, because this was going to be a short ep, we are now out of time. However, I do want to kick it back to you briefly. Is there anything else that you want to make sure that the listeners hear straight from the horse's mouth before we bounce?
I don't know why I did that, but I did. It was great, it was beautiful. I can lead into this as well. Thank you for having me on. I love coming back on here. Anytime you need a fill-in, I will try and be here for it. I want to do more podcasting. We haven't done enough this year. The Trailcasters have been on a bit of a rebuild, a restructure season, but we will be coming back strong, coming back to race down the season with you, like pare down all the games next year week by week as we go. It's going to be beautiful. In the meantime, everyone, please come and join Brandon and myself, and maybe Witty again will be back there one day. Come and join us on the Trailcasters Discord. There's links out there somewhere. We will find it for you. Send us, him or me or anyone, a DM, word of mouth. Also, shout out to the Third Bench. If you want to come and join, I know it's been rough seasons to watch, but yes. Oh, what a beautiful sticker. Greatly timed, sir. On cue. If you want to come and join, I know it's a rough time to be watching games, but come and join this group of fans that go to see the games. It's a very flexible way to, and if you want to get in on tickets when it's cheap or whatever, it is a very flexible way to see games. We draft what games you go to, so you don't have to worry about a pre-assembled package. You can move things around as you go. I have picked up multiple tickets. I have dropped multiple tickets to friends. We give tickets away to new fans who don't get to go to mini games. We've had donations to charities all over town. It's been a great group. The Third Bench, the Discord, we like the Blazers, Trailcasters, all of it. I feel like
one thing missing. Shout out to Hand Fruit Nation for all of you
who
were part of the Rip City Remixes inaugural season. That was so much fun, and getting to get together and watch the game from directly behind the hoop, from getting to shoot free throws on the court, and just to have some camaraderie. By the way, Remix games for next year, because their season's over now, a decidedly different vibe from a Blazers game. And what I would say is a decidedly more lighthearted, and it's not that it's any less competitive, but like, it honestly, I think the best way to put it, I've been to two Remix games. It felt less toxic, and I really mean that. And I think that is the environment they want to cultivate there, is more family friendly, more just kind of encouraging. And like, look, I mean, people were still heckling the refs and the refs were laughing. Remember that one time when like,
we were 10 feet away from the refs saying some funny things, man.
The one ref gave Ashton Hagens a flagrant. And so then later when a different ref called a foul, we were like, that should be a flagrant. And she turned around and started laughing. It was great.
Yeah.
So
anyway, yeah. Smiles.
Shout out to the third bench. Shout out to the Trailcasters Discord. Shout out to We Like the Blazers. And shout out to Hand Fruit Nation. And also, if you want to find us, you can always do that at WeLikeTheBlazers.com. You can find me, Brandon Goldner, at GoldnerPDX. Or the show, Twitter limits the amount of characters we can put in the username. It's at LikeTheBlazers. He is at RipCityKeith. And also, right?
Sure. I think I have
that one still. Really use that, though.
All I do is Trailcast at this point. That one is almost, it's probably, I don't even know, it's defunct. But yeah, my stuff I just do from Trailcasters. I can't handle two social media accounts when I'm also trying to run the Discord platform. And that's where I spend all my time.
That's actually a good point. At Trailcasters on Twitter.
At Trailcasters on Twitter. Trailcasters at Gmail. Come and find the Discord.
Go to the Discord. It's a lot of fun. I appreciate you all. That's it for now. Until next time, thank you and go Blazers.